Calling just now from Anwar in London. He's on the line. If he might ask his question of you, Anwar, go ahead.
Oh, hi, assalamu alaikum. Good evening. I just like to ask, why is it that Democrats now they have passed a bill and Bush's and his hawks and his colleagues are stuck to the same old policy that war must continue, the killing must continue. I think it is time. The enough British, American, and the civilians, which are in thousands of Iraqis, have been killed. I think the American people should come out and speak, and we must bring it to an end now, I think.
Okay, let's get Professor Chomsky to answer this, and perhaps I can ask it in this way, sir. What is it that stops the American people having some kind of voice in this? If Anwar is correct that people are against the killing that's going on, why is it that the views of people are not being translated into action in terms of policies?
Well, now we're back to the matter of failed states, not just on this issue, but on a whole range of crucial issues. Public opinion is pretty strongly opposed to government policy. In fact, on many issues, important ones, both political parties are well to the right of the general population. That's true on domestic issues, too. It's been pretty well documented. I've written a lot about it, so have others. That's a failure of the functioning of the American democratic system. I mean, it's a very free country, freest country in the world, has formal democratic institutions, but for a variety of reasons, they are not functioning in ways which make them responsive to the public. And the public knows it. That's one of the reasons there's so much disillusionment with the political system. Now, why doesn't the public do something about it? Well, that's a function of atomization of people, of difficult economic circumstances, not difficult by world standards, but difficult by the standards that they rightly expect and see, a lack of breakdown of the major organizations. The unions, for example, used to be a major force for democratization, but they've been harshly repressed. They by now barely exist. Illegal labor practices are used to destroy them and so on. And the result is a society which is opposed to policy on major issues like this one, but right. Hasn't found the organizational forms, hasn't developed the organizational forms to press for a real voice in foreign policy or domestic policy for that matter.
Right, Professor, you'd mentioned the Israeli-Palestinian situation a moment ago before Anwar's question, and I want to get an email to you that came from Andrew Leidner in the United States, who says, "You are Jewish. If Israel is destroyed, what part will you have played in it, and will you give yourself a pat on the back when it is?"
Well, I've felt for many years, and have written, incidentally, that the people who call themselves supporters of Israel are in reality supporters of Israel's moral degeneration and probably ultimate destruction. I mean, Israel can have security. In fact, that's been true for over 30 years. It has chosen instead expansion at the cost of security. I can go through the reasons if you want to.
Probably
know
we're
details,
short on time and a couple of callers waiting, so yeah. Better to.
Okay, but that means that, I agree with my Israeli friends who think that the policies they're taking are extremely first of all, wrong, but also self-destructive, and that if they do pursue security and peace instead of expansion and oppression, their prospects are very much improved.